is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We've got to stop them. They're going to kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rest, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Heard. You're the Grey Rider. You would not make peace with the Bluecoats. You may go in peace.
I reckon not.
Got nowhere to go.
And you will die.
I came here to die with you.
Governments don't live together. People live together. Governments, you don't always get a fair word or a fair fight. Well, I've come here to give you either one or get either one from you.
I came here like this so you'll know my word of death is true. And that my word of life is then true. And I'm saying that men can live together without butchering one another.
It's said that governments are achieved by the double tongues. Achieved by the double tongues.
All right. Looks like everybody is taking the night off for Thanksgiving. But have no fear. We're going to do something here at revolution.radio. Support us, please. All right, look here. Jimmy Jean just did a show a while ago, and I still got it pulled up. I mean, he ain't been... No. He hasn't been off long. So, it's 13 minutes into the hour, I'm going to start the show 13 minutes into the show because it's a two-hour show, and it looks like Two Feathers had a two-hour show, and he's not here, so we're going to try to fill that, and I'm sure Jimmy Jean wouldn't mind me putting his show on, so we're going to start Jimmy Jean off right here at 13 into the show. He's playing music for about the next 10 minutes, but then he starts his show, so here we go.
All right, I see him. He went full Kurtz on me.
About you.
Happy Thanksgiving. It's the Independent Broadcast Network. My name's Jimmy. It's an orphan's party going on. I don't know. I'm on the fence at this point because Bruce McDonald is waiting, I think, in the wings. I'm not sure. Epic Journeyman may pop in. I don't know. I'm just here with you. Thanksgiving. What's up, Chris?
Become fully aware of my own tactile sense. In dim light, I close my eyes and remove my clothes. His respect for being so wild? Hardly. He treats me like a rare and precious jewel, and he goes through the day proud of the fact that with me he is the world's most imaginative lover. Men pick amazing places for sexual adventure. The wildest adventure proposed to me was in a bathtub we would fill with Jell-O. All I could think of was how many boxes it would take. What would be the most alluring color, the most delicious flavor, and how would that affect our oral explorations? If the Jell-O gets firm, would I bounce? As you look around for what's new and different, remember these three important weapons that should be learned to keep a man in love. Imagination, sensitivity to his moods and desires, and the courage to experiment with new sexual techniques, enticing situations and places. Lovemaking is physical, and so is its language. Suck, cock, fuck, and prick are not bad words. Used in the bedroom by lovers to describe parts of the body and physical activities, they are very proper indeed, and they distinctly enhance sex. Overhaul a prudish attitude. Don't bristle and stick up your nose. At least, not up in the air.
Just got me crawling, crawling on the floor. And I've never known a girl like you before.
Just to keep you aware. How much you gonna get? Fuck with you.
That was the first song I ever learned how to play on bass. That was Slave doing Slide off the Slave LP. Bruce McDonald's somewhere there in the mist. I see him somewhere. He's coming up. It's Thanksgiving, you know. So give thanks. Be grateful. Shit changes in like a split second. Either way, I mean, if it's bad, it could... Boom. Now it's good. You never know. I see him. He went full Kurtz on me. Got me on speaker. It was coming back. There we go. It's not coming back. What's happening, man? You don't look happy, dude. You're not having a happy Thanksgiving. It's not Thanksgiving in Costa Rica, I know, but still.
I'm very content.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know. I'm not unhappy in the least, man. Yeah.
Wow. I'm not receiving enough.
Get a haircut.
You got a haircut. I know. That's what I mean. You went full Kurtz.
Oh, dude, you got to try this, man. Once you do it, you never go back. You don't have to worry about hair. You wake up, you fucking brush your teeth, and you're ready to go. Right?
It's beautiful. I do that now. I just put my I just roll my hair up and shove it under my hat, and I look like I got a crew cut. And then all of a sudden, I take my hat off, and boom, there I am, receiving energies from the universe, dude. Your hair, you know, it picks up vibrations. Did a whole thing on it, man. That's why I grew my hair. It's like I used to have long hair when I was young, like a kid. Like I had long hair the whole time I was a little kid, all the way up until the time I, you know, didn't. You know, years and years. But then once I got in business for myself, you know, I had to keep my hair high and tight for the man, too, so I can go in and do my jig, get my, you know, my pets or whatever. But anyway, we did a show about hair, and it wasn't just hair, but it was about this fucking hat. Have you ever seen this giant gold hat they have over in I believe it's in Bavaria? That's where this fucking hat is. But anyway, this hat is this giant cone shaped hat. It looks like a witch hat. It's got a bunch of symbols on the side of it. And so we were talking about it, that when you put that hat on, that you start, you know, receiving energies from the universe. And so we were looking at the hat, and then we found that the Sikhs was one of the people that came up, because they have got this giant ass beard. But when you see them in public, you just see a piece of it. The rest of that shit goes up inside their hat and spins around all up in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they don't cut. They're receiving vibrations. Now, look, here's a trippy thing. Listen, you know how people say they're gonna put the dunce cap on you?
Yeah.
You know, being a dunce is not bad. Dunce was actually a genius, and the reason they put you in the dunce cap, this came up on the show. The reason they put you in the dunce cap in the corner with one of these fucking cones on your head, so that dunce's intelligence can come down the cone and go into your skull, and then thereby making you smarter.
I believe that.
I know. And so we started looking at these hats, man. If you start looking at them around the world, there's fucking hats, man. And these hats are literally sort of like antennas. You know, it's an interesting subject, man. Plus, when you combine the hat with the ley lines and, you know, some of these principles about magnetics and frequencies, it's really interesting shit. When you really start to really hone in on it, then you get down to the actual crown itself. You think about these kings. Why were they fucking wearing, why were they wearing crowns, man? Look at those crowns.
Yeah.
What is that? It goes up, and then there's a ball on top. There's a ball on top of like a triangle on these crowns.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these different jewels, right? So these jewels have a certain principle. And it's when that specific dude with those specific, with that makeup in that moment, puts that crown on. Is this like the crown? You know when you see the Ankh over in ancient Egypt, you see the Ankh symbol. These dudes are holding this thing that looks like a cross with a bubble on top. You know the Ankh. You know what I'm talking about. And then in the other hand, they got this L shape, whatever it is. I mean, these are like implements of moving energy, I believe. You know, it's just like this crown. the crown idea that came later. Now, I don't know. Maybe you know, were some of these, did the Egyptians wear crowns? Did they have some sort of, golden headdress or some type of thing like that? I can't remember if I've ever seen
that. Yeah, they had headgear. All titled people have headgear, pretty much. They even keep it alive in England with the wigs. For the judges, for the justices of the peace.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something about titled people in headgear, right? Whether it be clergy or nobility, they've always had headgear. And with the Sikhs, that's actually a burial shroud. Mm-hmm. The turban is a burial shroud so that they can be recognized on the battlefield and they can go in after the battle and clean proper burial rites for their dead.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
We did a whole thing.
Now, on the other end of the spectrum, you've got like the Buddhists who, like, when you initiate as a novitiate in a monastery, you shave your head. It's the exact opposite. There's no headgear, no hair, no nothing. You shave your head. Right?
It's weird, man. It's strange.
Yeah.
It's hard, you know. I would say there's more people with hair. I'm privy or knowledge of more people with hair. For example, Native Americans.
Yeah.
They got long hair. What are they? Shaman. They're sitting there talking to animals and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They know where something is, man. They hear something like a half a mile away. They all had long hair, and you know the thing that was the thing too was when that was part of the Trail of Tears is to cut their hair, and that's exactly what they do to you when they put you in the service. What do? They cut your hair.
Cut your hair.
That's fucking right. But see, here's the thing. Now I'll put this forward to you. So you just now shaved your head. So what that does is that clears away because in your hair, follicles. It's like a recording of your life. It's a recording of what's going on. It's all in there. It comes out.
Yeah.
And it's in there. It's hanging there. And you're carrying it around with you. So now you've cleared yourself of all of that baggage. And you've arisen anew like an egghead. And you're fresh in the fresh air. And now you can grow a new head of hair with a whole new approach. Based on what you've learned over the past 9 months, because you've learned a lot. And so you have to assimilate that into your daily life. So it sounds like you've been meditating, you've been kicking back and taking care of yourself. You know, so more power to you, man. More power to you. I'm not going to cut my hair, but in the moment where my hair is cut and it's shaved like bald like that, I'll think to myself, Bruce was right.
It is extremely refreshing.
No, I know.
Like you sleep different, like everything is different. Yeah,
I know.
And I don't. It's very difficult for me to grow long hair. My my hair grows out, not down. I have like the ultimate like Jufro. It just goes totally Harry Chapin, man. Me and my brother, same thing. The hair just grows out. Well, and
Rio said he ain't cutting his hair because he doesn't think it'll grow back. Rio's had the same hair. Rio's had the same long hair since for the last fucking long period of time. Now I cut mine.
His hair's not that.
Yeah, it's long, man. It's got a giant ponytail, man. If you've seen him, you only seen him from the front. He's business in the front, he's party business in the front, party in the back kind of thing. You know what I mean? He lets his when he goes home and makes his peppermint tea, he lets down his hair, you know. But the rest of the time he's over there kicking it old school with his ponytail. But maybe he'll be by. He'll stop by. I don't know. Epic Journeyman was lurking. He's trying to get me. He's trying to get me to get this Quest 3 thing with the augmented reality and all this shit, which I'm not opposed to. I'm not opposed to it, dude. I would do it right now, except for that shit is like, you know, it's like $500. You know,
man,
so
I got the very best Amazon delivery address in the world. Literally over here, there's no house numbers in Costa Rica. I don't know if you knew this. So basically, this is actually registered on my Amazon account. I bought one of my microphones off Amazon. 600 meters past the bridge on Highway 32 that passes over the Mother of God River on the left, Hilberto's confectionery, leave with attendant. That's my Amazon address. And then I give a regional postal code for Costa Rica so they just know what canton they should be in. And everybody who delivers stuff in Costa Rica is from the area they deliver in. Otherwise, you don't have a chance of getting anything to anybody. No mail, no nothing. You have to, like, be born in the area. Oh, yeah. Gilberto's place. I know where that is, past Mother God River. Sure, on Highway 32. Everybody knows where Gilberto's place is. And that's the way they do it.
That's trippy, man. That's cool. I mean, you can do that here in California if you're homeless. You can get your mail, like, at a tree or whatever. The third tree on Second Street or whatever.
But you have to physically be there for the pickup, right? They're not just going to leave it at the tree.
I think they do. I don't know. I really,
because that would be illegal. What if it's a check?
At this point, I don't know. But I do know it's legal. I don't know.
So, Jimmy, give me and the listeners a clue as to what the Thanksgiving feeling is in America in 2023, and more specifically California, and more specifically Santa Cruz.
Well, shit's mellow around here. I mean, the waves, yeah. You know, the seagulls, you know, the waves, people are chill. You know? There's a giant homeless situation.
In Santa Cruz?
Yeah, it's fucking, it's like, it was every winter, these homeless camp would develop right outside of this mall area where there's some, shopping stores where people go. Mm-hmm. And every year they'd have to come in there with bulldozers at the end of winter and take it out, and it'd be all muddy and fucked. It'd be all muddy and fucked up and needles and all this shit. And so they'd have to come in there and clean it up. So finally what they did, thanks Ned, finally what they did is they knocked down all the trees and they put this area in, and then they built this whole, like, facility where they feed people and all this. And so now all the homeless, they come to this feeding area. There's like a feeding area. And they come there and they feed. And then I don't know where they go. They're everywhere. Literally, people are just like when I go to work in the morning, I'll be down, you know, down by where I work, and because I work near the ocean. And that's as far as I can take it. But I see people like living in their fucking cars. Like, literally, like, someone, you know, dude's got his door open, you know, and he's cleaning out this back seat or whatever. I mean, I don't know.
It's rough.
Yeah, I mean, thing is, there really isn't any affordable fucking housing for people, man. You can't, listen, in Santa Cruz, number one, if you live in Santa Cruz, we don't work in Santa Cruz. Because most people that live in Santa Cruz, they work outside of Santa Cruz, because you don't, when you live in Santa Cruz, there's no money. There's no jobs that pay money. There's no factories or companies or any of this. There's none of that. You know, there's some construction, but even that in and of itself is, you get paid less money. Because
where would most people live then?
Well, they live here, but they, like, or I say, over, they go over to San Jose.
Where would they?
Yeah, they work over in the valley, Silicon Valley. So Silicon Valley is about 30 minutes from where I live. So most
okay.
Yeah, so most people commute from here over there. to make their money. Like I said, it's Silicon Valley. So you're a Silicon Valley person working at companies over there or whatever. You own homes over here. Those are the people that own homes over here where I live. And the rest of that shit is rental. And then there's UC Santa Cruz there. So every house is like a gold mine because there's a constant four-year flow of people coming through here and need places to stay while they're living here. And they rent houses. And a lot of what happened is a lot of these people that were coming to school here, their fucking parents got money, so they just bought houses here while their kids were going to school. So they were just paying for the house on the, they were paying the mortgage on the house while the kid was going to school, you know what I mean? Then they just build the equity for the 4 years or whatever and then just either hang on to it and use it as a rental property or sell it or give it to the kid or whatever. Mm-hmm. That was a typical process around here. So there's basically, right. There's no homes. There's no place to build anything. So there's only so much. And then there's residential and then there's commercial. And that's, see, I have this fucking really, I have a thing I want to do, but I can't do it because I'm not in a position to do it because I don't have that kind of money or that kind of access to loans or whatever, or that type of credit that you need to do something. But if I could, what I would do right now is I would start taking these commercial fucking shithole office buildings that are around with all these dentists and different insurance agents and all that shit. Because nobody's renting those.
Yeah, strip mall.
Yeah, they're dying. That shit is mm-hmm. dying. So you take those old office complexes and turn them into multi-family dwellings. And, I mean, it doesn't even have to be families. You can just be multi-people. It's like take those offices. Make them into small apartments, have one badass kitchen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Indoors, outdoors, have a garden in there, man, put some fucking solar on there, get some shit going on, you know? You know what I mean? You could even do it and get rid of that homeless problem right there. You could even use those homeless people to, you know, go in there and, you know, do some shit or whatever. They got people around here on the street. They put them to work, like walking around with these cans. There's a whole shit. There's gangs of them that just scour the earth in Santa Cruz. They're homeless people. They pay them cash or whatever. They just walk around with mm-hmm. these shirts on, picking up trash. So,
wild.
Yeah. Anyway, though, but these conversions, these because here's what happened during the lead up to the infrastructure bill being passed, there's this whole push to get rid of these, especially started up in Oregon, is there to get rid of these homes where only one family lives there. You know, they want,
yeah.
if there's a home, they want you to tear it down and put another home on or two homes on it or multi, you know, where more than one family can live there. So there's this big move. And so in the infrastructure bill, there's shitloads of money in there for counties and states to build multifamily housing. So what I'm saying is, that being the case, there's all these billions of dollars from the government for building multifamily housing. So what you can do, and what I've thought about doing, is, you know, there's a fine line between live and workspace. So there's a place around here that it's a live workspace. So what I mean by that is, it's got a giant roll-up door in the front, you know. It's an apartment, but it's got a roll-up door, and you could be an artist painting in there, doing whatever photography, whatever the fuck you do in there. You mm-hmm. can have this space, and it's kick-ass. You know what I mean? They built this one place, and it was full. They literally...
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
What the heck is the truth, jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio! Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio!
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Friday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law, spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Sold them like condos, okay? These are like, I mean, what I'm saying, it's like a commercial building with an apartment in it. It's like the ultimate badass place to live. Giant ceilings, you know, fucking skylights, you know what I mean? Roll up door, a fucking sweet, I mean, yeah, hell yeah. And like I said, there was like 12 units. This shit is like you know, corrugated steel. It's like a steel building. Imagine steel building. You can call up this company, General Steel. They'll fucking come out and throw a steel building up on your concrete slab in like a day. They show up with these dudes.
Yeah.
This is a fucking steel building. Next day, boom, you're sold out. They sold out of those live workspaces. So just on the face of that, on the face of it, it tells me that if I could get the line moved between residential and commercial, and there'll be political motivation to do it because there's monies involved in it. Because if counties provide more housing, like this type of housing, then they're going to get money from the government from that infrastructure bill. It's already there. So it's fucking, it's a no-brainer. So, I mean, what's it take to rehab?
Well, you'd think, right? But you don't know who's running Santa Cruz. It could be a Masonic lodge, and if you're not in with them, they're not going to let you make money, man. That's what Pac Woman told me about the rural part of Australia she lives. All the business licenses on the main strip in the small town. It's a Mason-run town, and if you're not with them, you're not getting what you need. I imagine that's the same in a lot of places.
You know what? There was a moment when I was sitting there on my sailboat, and I was sitting in the harbor. There was a moment where I realized there's fucking obelisks everywhere.
Yeah.
And then we noticed it, and then we started noticing it everywhere, and it's like at every harbor there's obelisks. They use them. Yeah. They're everywhere. So I started this whole thing. This dude, I was living on my trimaran, and the dude next to me was a diver, and he cleaned boats and under your boat, put zincs on, shit like that. And so he lived in his boat, and I had my boat, and then right above us was his restaurant, you know. And then, so, you know, we'd be hanging out because we lived at the harbor, you know, so we'd talk all the time. And so one day I said to him, I said, man, look at all these fucking obelisks, man. I go, I wonder if this whole place is full of Masons or whatever. I started, you know, asking him or whatever. And then I guess it was probably like 3 or 4 days later, he's up at this breakfast restaurant right above where our boats are. And, like, I had filled his head with enough shit that he was just, you know, he was running off at the mouth or whatever. So he goes up to he's up in the harbor, and he's up at the restaurant, and he's eating with these dudes, like these 3-4 older guys. And he's up there, like, repeating the shit that I said to him the night before on my boat. Turns out these dudes are fucking all Masons or whatever. And it was like within 3 days, man, all of a sudden, the harbor starts coming down on us and shit. Like, I'm sitting on the back of my boat one day. All of a sudden, I hear this noise, and I go and I look out behind my boat, you know? Because I had this giant tarp over the fucking arm of my sail. So it was like a tent in the back end of my boat. So I'm just kicking back there, you know, you can't see in there or whatever. And all of a sudden I hear this noise, and I go back and look in the back of my boat, and it's the Harbor Patrol, and they're fucking sitting there. They have these boats, Bruce, that are silent, man. These fucking boats don't make a sound. They got two giant-ass outboard motors on them, but they're dead silent. All of a sudden the dude's, like, cruising me up, and all of a sudden then they start hassling about it. There's, like, all of a sudden they come down there. Hey, Jimmy, we've had some complaints. And I was like, really, what's that? And he's, well, they don't like your tarp over your sail arm. You know what I mean? Because you gotta imagine this, dude, because my boat was a 33-foot trimaran, and it was mostly deck. So everything above, you know, it's...
I'm going to look that up, Jimmy. How do you spell trimaran?
T-R-I-M-A-R-R-A-N. They're badass, dude. That's the only kind of boat you want to be on if you're in the ocean. A trimaran. Epic Journeyman's into the catamarans, but...
Oh, wow, yeah. Holy cow, man. That would have a difficult time tipping, eh?
Yeah, that thing don't tip, man.
But you would almost need, like, a double dock space. It's so wide.
Yeah, it's wide. That's what I mean. So imagine it. So I got this giant ass, wide ass boat dock space. And then I got
you were living like some 80s private detective dude, like Magnum or Simon and Simon or something like that. You
I
had
was.
One of those like TV lives.
I did. I had my Harley right there too. I had a fucking.
Oh my God.
I know. It was bad. And you know what was kick ass was the dude, like I say, the guy next to me.
Yeah.
He was taking care of all these boats, and these really sick boats would come in. Like, dudes would come in with giant fucking boats, and this guy would take care of them, you know? So, like, one of them was like a cabin cruiser. This thing was like a 100-foot cabin cruiser, dude. It's just some guy owned it, and he just had a captain and a whole crew and shit. Like, the captain, he just sailed the boat around. The dude's like, yeah, let's go to Santa Cruz. And the guy would take him to Santa Cruz and then sit there.
Live on a boat now, Jimmy. They got Starlink for boats. They give you the little satellite dish for a boat. You know, you throw some solar panels up there just to keep your computer going. You cook on propane. You could just literally go like 75 meters offshore, drop anchor, not pay any docking fees or anything, and just live.
I know.
You wait and see.
I've had two boats, dude. I've had two.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, I've had two boats. I had that 33-foot Trimaran and a 30-foot Columbia sailboat. Both of them sank.
One of the things that disappoints me the most about the time we're going through now is the lack of creativity.
I know.
You know, if people can't live the way they think you're supposed to live, like a home or a condo, they start to panic. And I'm like I'm waiting for the ideas and I'm waiting for the lifestyles to appear where when I see them, I go, wow,
listen to this.
I should have done that. I should have done Earthbag, but I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it, but both you could get, I probably put maybe 45, 50 grand into everything up here, including the 2 hectares of land I own, the 5 acres of land. Now, that's everything. My furniture, everything, Jimmy. My fridges, my stove, like everything. My mattresses, 45, 50 grand tops, okay? Man, but you could also have a kick-ass life like on a boat for 45 or 50 grand. The used boat market now.
For 50 grand, dude, you'd be living like a friggin' king. Listen to this, dude.
Yeah.
This is what's sick about it. Is because wherever you go, all your shit is there. But it's not like it's not like you're in a fucking RV or something. You know what I mean? When I found out the legal aspects of having a boat, you know, when you're on a boat, man, it means something to be the captain of your ship or whatever. You know what I mean?
A
boat is like your own island. It's like you can literally, it's your own place. Nobody can say shit about it.
And once you get out into international waters, outside the jurisdictional waters of countries, which I think, what is it like?
17
X
miles.
Number of,
17
is
miles.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Once you get out into international waters, there's no law, man. You can do whatever you want. You can just go out there and snort coke all day. Nobody's going to do nothing.
No, man. It's literally, I mean, listen. I'm telling you right now, there's nothing like living on a boat, man. The thing is, they say there's your two best days is the day that you buy your boat and the day you sell your boat. Because boats,
what?
As romantic as they may be, unless you're a rich dude who's just paying dudes to do all the shit for you, it's nothing but fucking work, dude. Saltwater tears shit up, man. A fucking hole in your boat, shit like that.
Yeah,
it's nasty.
Yeah.
Nah, I had shit happen. When I bought that Trimaran, I hired a skipper to fucking sail that thing down here from San Francisco. All right?
Well,
Okay, so listen to this. This skipper dude was the guy that rides, who used to sail the Chardonnay yacht out of Santa Cruz, so it's a giant fucking yacht. This dude's like major.
Yeah.
This dude's, you know, balls out. This dude and his brother sat in a 20-foot sailboat and sailed to Hawaii.
Yeah.
He sailed to Hawaii with nothing, with no instruments, man. They just dead wrecking that fucker. So this dude is a badass. So he brings these two chicks with him, these two ladies. One of them was his girlfriend. I don't know who the other one was. So they bring him in. All of a sudden, he's bringing my boat down. He calls me and he goes, Jimmy. Because I bought this boat. I'd never taken it out. You know what I mean? There it was. It was, you know, I didn't know anything about it. I never know shit about boats. I've never owned a boat. But I just decided I was going to get one. I went and got it. And fucking, now I was sailing down to Santa Cruz because I got a slip. You couldn't get slips in Santa Cruz because you have to wait like 7 years. But since this moment arrived, I could get a slip. I goes, fuck, man. So I hired this guy. He's sailing this boat down from San Francisco. It's one of the most dangerous, when you're coming out of the Golden Gate Bridge, the currents right there are one of the most dangerous currents in the world. And he's sailing this little 33-foot wooden trimaran from 1976. And he's sailing it, and he calls me. He goes, Jimmy, the boat's taking on water. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, man, we're bailing it right now. He goes, we're bailing it out right now. And so the whole time they were sailing it from San Francisco down, these ladies that were with them, they were fucking cranking this thing and pumping water out of the thing, out of the ama, you know, because one of the amas, one of the, you know, on the trimaran, one of the outside amas was fucking leaking. So he limps it over to Half Moon Bay, you know what I mean? And he comes out, and so I go pick him up, and he goes, yeah, man, she was taken. Jimmy, the sea is an angry maiden. You know, she was she was taken on water. So I had to bring her in. Let me know when you get it fixed or whatever. So he leaves. So now I'm sitting there and I go, what the fuck am I going to do, right? So I find the hole in this ama, all right? And I'm sitting there and I'm going, how the fuck? So I go, dude, listen to this. I go get a truck tire, a fucking inner tube, a giant fucking semi-truck inner tube, and I fucking... I pulled it under the ama while there was no air in it. Yeah. And then I filled that motherfucker up with air and just lifted that fucking ama up out of the water. And then I did fiberglass repair on that motherfucker. I repaired it. And then I dropped it off that inner tube. I let the air out, dropped it down. It was in there perfect, man. And whole boy came back, got that boat, and sailed it back down to Santa Cruz Harbor, dude, at $10 a foot. Right, the houses around the Santa Cruz Harbor, like $5 million houses. So I'm living in the Santa Cruz Harbor, the same exact place they're living, for $10 a foot, dude. $300 a month I was living in there.
Okay, so I'm looking at the map here. So you have to actually go out of San Francisco and then go out into the ocean. Like, there's a huge harbor there, like, or whatever you call it in nautical terms. A peninsula or whatever inside San Francisco there.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like San Francisco's, like the way it goes out like that, it's almost like an island. It's like in the middle of, it's water on three sides, right? Mm-hmm. But you're like right down at the other tip of the landmass, like, so San Jose down to here. So he had to leave San Francisco, go out through this little channel in between San Rafael, and sail about 100 kilometers he had to sail. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
I know. He was a badass, too. He neither none of the ladies or him even said anything. They were like, they didn't say, man, what the fuck, you know, blah, 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 or nothing. They didn't say shit. And then later on, he told me, later on, after I was on my boat and I was living in the harbor for a while, he came by my boat and said, Jimmy, next time if you want to get a boat, get one of these. And then he told me what to get. You know, he took me by one and said, look at it. He goes, go in there. Look at the headroom. See, you got to do this. This is what you want, Jimmy, next time you buy a boat. Get one of these. So there was like a typhoon in Japan, you know, and it came through and it came to Santa Cruz. It was like a freak storm. No one is expecting it. it doesn't rain in the summer here at all. There's not fucking storms. So it, no one expected it, Bruce. And so I had gone home and I was at my house, not at the harbor. And all of a sudden, yeah, this fucking storm starts coming and it's like, there's a leftover typhoon. And I was thinking, what's, you know, what's that going to mean? And all of a sudden it starts raining and it's windy and shit. So I decide I'm going to go down to the harbor. I get down there, dude, and it's literally like fucking gale force winds. And all these people people's sailboats, their sails were coming unfurled. And it was just going, these fucking waves are coming in and shit. I look down at my boat, and I had this speedboat. It was like a tri-hull with a fucking 350 Chevy in it. It had a windshield that came up by itself. It was like a fucking 1963 boat. And I had it tied onto the side of my trimaran. Well, because this fucking typhoon came in and the waves were bashing my boat. All of a sudden, the cleat broke off one of the tie-downs on my boat. So every time the wave would go out and then we'd come in, my boat would smash against the side of my fucking trimaran. And I come and look over the side, and I see the guy that owns this really nice boat. It's like, this was like a fucking $200,000 sailboat. He's on my boat trying to lasso my speedboat and shit. He's got the yellow fucking rain gear on and shit. So I run down there, you know, and I jump on the boat. Like, we, you know, we lasso this fucking speedboat and, you know, tie it up or whatever. And then, but by then the damage had been done, Bruce. And the side of the trimaran had been bashed beyond recognition. So I was friends with the harbor master, and he said he'd just get rid of it for me. So he got rid of it, and that was the end of my days at the harbor. And I thought to myself, I'll never buy another motherfucking boat as long as I live, dude. And then a couple years later, I was looking in Craigslist, and I see this boat for like $5,000. And it's literally, it's exactly when the dude told me, next time you buy a boat, Jimmy, buy one of these. It was one of those. Except for this dude had moved here from Tennessee or some shit. He was like a woodworker from way back. And he was buying these boats and then refinishing all the wood interiors on them. So he was going to these auctions at these harbors. And he's fucking buying these boats. And then he was redoing this shit. So this was like a 30-foot Columbia, all right? Fucking all teak all the way through. And brand new, dope, this beautiful boat, dude. I didn't have $5,000, but I went down there, and I convinced the dude to let me pay him on payments for that fucking boat.
And so I can't relate to this at all, Jimmy. I mean, I can. I mean, I can understand the words in the story, but, you know, you get a handful of different kinds of people. And under the major classifications, you have many, many sub-classifications. But basically, you got water people, and that would be somebody who lives on a boat, very comfortable on the water. You got desert people, and then you got mountain people. And it doesn't matter whether it's a city or not. Like, so when you get into California, there's a lot of mountain people. People live up in the mountains, right? And there's water people. And I suppose even in California, you got desert people as well. Like, California is a very rich geography. It's got everything.
Dude, I've lived in all three of those places. And
what I've learned about myself, Jimmy, I am pure mountain people. Like, you put me on a mountain, I don't want to leave. Like, it's all my wife can do to get me to go shopping. Right? I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I've got my Montero back on the road now, man.
Oh, yeah.
What a bad boy with knobby tires and everything. It's just, hey, man, listen. I don't even have to go to gear coming back up the road. That turbo diesel engine is so powerful. It's just second gear all the way up. Boom.
Badass. Right? Hey, Bruce, I need to go get some water for my coffee. So I'm going to go real quick.
Put on a song. I'm going to grab a coffee, too.
Yeah, all right. I'll put on some music. All right, everybody, hang tight. Hey, take a listen to this guy. I'm going to try to play the – see, I'll play the – let me see. I wasn't going to play the whole song, but I will. I was really only going to play the lead guitar part because I really like it. But I'll play this whole song. That'll give us time. Have you heard of this dude, Sean Mullins? Here, check him out. The song's called California. It's Independent Broadcast Network. Orphans Party Thanksgiving.
She was raised on the Puget Sound, a third generation hippie. Fate would take them to LA County and get them stuck in a traffic jam. And El Camino in a red Trans Am. And all the times they are changing made a pretty good impression. She looked over and caught him smiling under a California setting sun. They fell in love. Loud backstage at the Hollywood Bowl. They got the house in Topanga Canyon. They partied at the Viper Room, blending into the neon gloom. California.
Thanksgiving Eve. So Black Friday is tomorrow, eh? So tomorrow night,
yeah,
Into the Microcosm, the Black Friday edition. It's the average run.
Geared up.
The running.
I got everything I need, man. I mean, I'm not buying anything this Black Friday.
The running of the sheeple is no longer in effect because people are not listening. You remember when people used to be literally just fucking kicking each other's asses over some flat screens? You know what I mean? People are getting killed over flat screens.
Yeah.
It's fucking lowbrow.
Yeah. Dude, it'll be interesting to see what the figures are like this Black Friday because I think nobody's got any money to spend, Jimmy.
No, it's Cyber Monday, and it's groceries on Amazon. It's going to be Cyber Monday because that's the only way you can afford to eat. And I was going to bring it up earlier. I watched this piece earlier. It was a news piece. It was like a fluff piece or something. And it was like the era of the nightclub is dead. And I'd been thinking about that recently.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about it like, you know, the days when, you know, because I was in the club scene when the club scene was the hottest thing there was. That's where everybody was at clubs, you know. People used to go out dancing or whatever. You know, and now it's like a moment in time or whatever. But now that moment is different now because the whole thing's different. So this guy was saying how it was like, here's Bob.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, here's Bob. He's a club goer. And, you know, there's a club owner, a club goer, and an observer or whatever. So, dude, I'm an observer. I like to go around and, you know, observe. And so he goes out and he says what he sees now when he goes out to clubs is nobody's dancing and everybody's on their cell phones. And the only time they do anything is when they're doing it and then they stop doing it. So like if it looks like they're dancing, they hold up their phone and they're dancing for like a minute while they take their picture or whatever. And then the minute the camera's off, they stop, he said.
Unbelievable.
I know, it's weird. And then this other girl said, yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of twerking. Mostly there's, when you go to clubs, it's mostly twerking, is what the dude said. And then the girl goes, well, yeah, it's twerking, but it's only twerking for a minute, you know, or two, because they twerk, and then they take a video of themselves, and they show it on Facebook or whatever. So really, it's just, when people go out, they're not really going out. It's just a series of photo opportunities for your Facebook or whatever. Makes it look like you're having a good time or living the life or whatever, just kicking it, twerking all over town, drinking champagne, you know, shaking your ass. And I don't know. They said twerking, but then they didn't mention whether it was male or female twerking. They just mentioned twerking at that point. But I can't.
Please don't tell me that male twerking is a thing to me. I'm not ready to deal with that. Is male twerking a thing? It's not in Latin America. I tell you what, you get shot shit over here.
Even if you have a big mustache and you twerk it?
Like no, dude, no. I mean, the only time a man moves his ass like that is when he's bull riding.
I just choked down a gagger, but that used to mean something bit different back in the day. It used to mean a bong hit, but now in the days of male twerking, it might mean a whole something different. I don't know, but I don't know if male twerking's a thing. I'm just assuming that it's not, but I could be wrong because, like I say, I don't go out to clubs anymore. There's no reason.
That's pretty gender-free.
Dude, there's no reason to go out to clubs, is there? We've talked about this earlier, you know, on many shows about bands that you see into clubs. Like, when you go out to a bar, are there any bars where you just go there and there's, like, a band playing anymore? I don't know if there are. I mean, I know there used to be around here. There used to be a bunch of really good ones, but, I mean, I don't know. Maybe. You never know. You never know. I don't know, but in any event, so this guy was saying, so when I go out to the club, he says, I got to pay $50 to park, and then he got to pay $20 to get in the door, so he says, is that $70, you know, already, and I haven't even gone in yet, You know what I mean? It's $70. Now you're going to go in. What, are you going to pay $20 for a fucking cocktail in there? I used to go to this place. There, Bruce, just before you tell me. I used to go to this place called Paradise Beach. It was a club in downtown San Jose. It was nowhere near the fucking beach, all right? But it was called Paradise Beach. They had sand and shit in there. They had sand in there, and that place was packed, dude. There was fucking lines around the building trying to get in. You know? They'd play tequila and shit, and all these big titty blondes would jump up on the bar and fucking in bathing suits and start fucking pouring tequila everywhere, spilling it, doing shots, whatever, jello shots. It was like a fucking crazy...
Decadence is over in America, Jim. Jesus. It's over, man.
I know, but, you know, at least I can look back and wipe my brow and think to myself, I made it, man. You know, because let me tell you something. The Silicon Valley was nothing. Listen, the Silicon Valley was at that moment, it was when all the blow was coming in and everybody was starting companies over here. It's like all the companies people know about. It was because all these dudes were sitting they were sitting there doing blow nonstop.
Jimmy, have you ever seen Carlito's Way?
Yeah.
Man, I watched it. So I don't know why, but I got on this rewatching movie kick about 3 weeks ago. It started curiously enough, it started with The Ninth Gate. Great Roman Polanski film with Johnny Depp. I highly recommend you watch it if you haven't seen it, folks. Then from there, I watched Ghost Rider with Ewan McGregor, a 2010 Roman Polanski film. Pierce Brosnan and Ewan McGregor, also a great film. Then I went to Chinatown. Then I went to The Two Jakes. And then I thought, what the hell, let's watch Carlito's Way. And as soon as you started talking about the club life, I just went right back to like New York and Carlito's Way and John Leguizamo as Benny Blanco. No, Steffi's with Dave now. Who the fuck are you, Blanco? Benny, I need to know you, Benny Blanco.
Mm-hmm.
And when you live in a Latin culture, it takes on a whole new dimension, man. You have never seen the sin of pride fuck people pull up more than you will in Latin America. It's like they can't help themselves. Like a moment of humility could save your life, but they just can't do it.
Man, it's a crazy, crazy, crazy time. So what they're saying is what people are doing right now is like house music, where they go to a place and that's where you go to dance. No, you don't go to clubs anymore. Clubs are dead or whatever. So I don't know. Maybe clubs are dead. I know it's been a shitload, a long time since I've been to a club. It's probably been at least five or six. No, it's probably been more than a decade since I've been to a club.
So the closest I would come to this is sort of living through my son's stories. He's 26 now. And from what I'm hearing from him in Toronto, I mean, they do go to clubs. Like, they do go downtown Toronto and they do club once in a while. But it's so expensive, right? It's like $12 for a beer but house parties are the rage now. That's where they're at, Jimmy. It's all house parties.
That's what I'm saying. Because for the price, listen, I was walking through the grocery store today, and I just walked through the liquor aisle, you know, shortcut into the milk section. So I was going to get some organic whole chocolate milk. And I went there, and I was walking through the liquor aisle, and I looked down, and I see this giant-ass quart of liquor for like $16. I'm thinking to myself, fuck, man, for $16, do you know how fucked up you could get for that $16 right there? I mean,
pretty fucked up, Jimmy.
That's what I'm saying. So why spend $16 on a fucking cocktail at a bar when you can buy a whole bottle of that shit?
Make no sense.
No. The Z generation's not stupid. They're not going to go. No. They're going to go party at their house, man, at the house. Or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking about earlier when we were talking about the Sikhs and somehow we got off onto a different subject? I was thinking about this. You know the Muslim prayer rug?
Yeah.
And this prayer rug is actually a sacred space. So if a dude lays a prayer rug in the middle of the street, you got to wait until he's done before you can drive by him.
Yeah.
And it's like, because
it's ridiculous.
Well, on the face of it, maybe, but you know, when you dig a little deeper and you find out that this piece of rug is actually this portal space, and that's why you have this idea of these magic carpets, of these dudes flying around on carpets. So they're not flying around on carpets, man. So they got this magic rug, okay? And when they're on it and they're praying and they're praying, they space through into another dimension, dude. That's what that rug is. It's a portal, man.
Yeah.
It's a portal. All right, listen. Should we just call the Epic Journeyman and rattle his chain? I never do that. I've never done that where I just call somebody and make them get on the air if they weren't ready to. Have you ever done that?
No, I wouldn't do that with Epic. Take a call, 864-810-1039, 864-810-1039. I'm afraid to see who we're going to get, Jimmy, on Thanksgiving.
Oh, well.
This is going to be depressing.
It's the off. No, it's not depressing. That's why we're here. We're depressing.
We should do an hour of suicide prevention calls, Jimmy. 864-810-1039. 864-810-1039.
If you're
feeling low, you don't know where to go, holler.
Holla. Hey, listen, man. The very idea of Thanksgiving in and of itself, on the face of it, is absolutely fucking ridiculous. We're supposed to believe in the 1600s a few dudes came over here called the Pilgrims or whatever, and they just started living here. And then they just all of a sudden spread like a fungus. Where did all these fuckers come from? And when
that's
you go,
the story,
and,
Jimmy. That's what they want us to believe.
Dude, listen to this. Listen to this. I don't think this is shit people don't consider at all when you think about this story. Like, when growing up, no one ever thought about this kind of shit at all. But here, let me put this forward. When the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria discovered America, all right, they fucking were sailing over the oceans and shit, and they were like, where their country was at that point, who the fuck knows where it was? They don't know. They're on some wooden fucking ship, you know, sitting there, and they go, oh, look, it's America. Even when they discover the fucker, how long does it take to sail back and tell somebody about it? It's not like they got on a fucking radio. Base, come in. I've discovered America. All right. We'll be right over. We're sending over the orphans now. Stand by. You know? It's bullshit. How many years does it take to sail across the ocean when you don't know where the fuck you're going? You could be sailing around for years in circles. But I guess they knew.
How long does it take to cross the ocean? Like, if you were to get on a cruise liner and you were to go from, let's say San Francisco to, what would be on the other side?
Well,
the
only
Pacific
thing I've ever done is gone from here to Mexico. It takes days and days to get somewhere. You know
what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah, yeah. They go super slow, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, back then, they were not... it's not like you can say, well, I calculate I'll get there by this time, you know, because I've got all this data that says I can do it. You know, back then, you're just fucking floating around. All of a sudden, there's wind, and then there isn't any. You're in this spot, you know, where the fuck you are. You're looking up at the stars. God damn it, man. You said to turn left at that hook of the Big Dipper. You fuck. You know what I mean? They're looking up at the stars. Really? Oh, really, dude? Come on. They're floating around out in the middle of the fucking ocean on a wooden boat, looking up at the stars with some thing going like this. I mean, think about that shit. How the fuck did they... Really? How did someone come up with that? Someone just sitting there scratching their ass one day. They're just going, you know, man, I think I'm going to look up at these stars my whole life and keep track of it. And then I'll pass it on to my son, and then he can keep track of it. And then after about 1,000 years, we'll know exactly where all the stars are moving to. And then somebody can get on a wooden boat with a little sextant and they'll know where to go. Doesn't that seem crazy? How that could happen?
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, it's absolutely...
A little bit, yeah.
It's wild, man, when you think about it.
Well, the spirit of adventure, man. You know, I mean, I always remember that scene of the Vikings crossing the ocean in the 13th Warrior with Antonio Banderas, and I thought, man, you'd have to be crazy to do that. Those boats weren't that big either. You know, you got to sleep on it. You're soaking wet the whole time, freezing.
Dude, it's terrifying. I swear to God, man. Think about this shit. Seriously, I mean, there's a video. I should send you this video. There's a video of this fucking guy. He sails from Santa Monica, California to Hawaii by himself.
Yeah.
In a 20-footer.
Yeah.
The dude's laying there in the middle of the ocean, sailing. It's dark. He's laying in his little boat with his arms around himself. And all you're hearing is this poof, poof, shit hitting the side of his boat, man. Waves are fucking crashing over. Water's leaking in through the fucking hatch and shit. He's just laying in there, dude. And the camera's like up there. Just fucking laying in there. And the thing is, dude, what you don't realize is those big ships, they can't see no 20-footer. At night, it's literally pitch fucking black. You can't see shit.
Yeah.
You can't see shit. And you're just sitting there you're sitting there on your little boat all night long, man, just making sure nobody's going to run your ass over. So it just happens.
Now, they all have radar, though, right? Like some form of radar or motion detection or some kind of warning system, right?
Yeah,
those
ships don't move. Like you can't maneuver and shit one of those ships. It detects you, but it's too late. You know, if you don't get out of the, you know, they expect you to get out of the way.
Have you seen these motherfuckers who cross the ocean in kayaks? They have these special kind of kayaks. You can sleep in them and you can seal them up and go to sleep. But you got to get up the next day, pop it open and start paddling. And they cross the ocean in kayaks.
Dude, you can see this guy I'm telling you about. When he starts off in Santa Monica, he looks like a certain dude or whatever. And he gets about halfway through the journey. You know, he's a changed man. That dude is not the same fucking guy. And he's sitting on the back of his boat and he's filming himself, but he's looking, you know, he's looking sort of like in front of him at the horizon, but he's got this fucking 1,000-yard stare. Okay. And it's in it's in that moment that a bird comes and lands on his boat. He starts talking to this bird. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, I'm thinking to myself in this moment when I see this bird, I'm thinking to myself, this fucking dude is out in the middle of the ocean. There is no islands anywhere. And there's this fucking bird. And I'm thinking to myself, if you're that bird, what happens if you stop flapping your wings and you're out there? You're fucking going in the water, man. And, you know.
I don't know, Jimmy.
That's what I mean.
I wish I had an answer.
The problem.
But I don't know.
I'm just saying.
How does a bird...
The bird, somehow...
The birds can land on the water and float, right? They can rest, and all their food's in the water, too, so...
Now, this was not that kind of bird, man. This bird was out of place. But anyway, the bird landed on there, and he found this... Somehow, this bird in the middle of the ocean found some place to land where it wasn't going to get eaten by a fucking shark or whatever. So he lands on this boat, and this guy starts talking to the bird. You know, the bird's now his friend. And then one day the bird flies off, Bruce. The bird flies off. He had gotten his rest and he left. Poor bird. Anyway, dude arrives in Hawaii. He's like, yeah, I made it. And now you look at him. If you were standing next to this guy at the cash register at the grocery store, he would look like nothing to you. He'd look like a skinny little dude. But that dude had the balls of a fucking giant. Seriously, that dude sailed across. So now he's over in Hawaii, and he looks at his little map. You know what I mean? He says, "Oh, I'm gonna sail over here, and post up in this bay right here between these islands or whatever." So he sails over there. He gets there, and all of a sudden, he's sitting there, and he's setting up his chair on the deck and stuff. And he's filming himself, you know, setting up his chair on the deck. And you can hear some noise in the background. Yeah. He hears like, hey. He's like, hey, 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 hey. And you look, and it's these fucking Samoans, dude. And they're coming off the island in these kayaks. And they're fucking yelling. They're yelling at him and waving machetes and shit. And they're saying, get the fuck out of here, man. Get out of here. So he got scared, and he decided to leave. And so he had to go someplace else. So, I mean, the bottom line is, when he finally sailed across the ocean, Bruce, and got to paradise, he found that paradise was just a couple of angry Samoans with machetes.
There you go.
You know? Stay at your home.
Polynesian rapism.
Stay in your homes, ladies and gentlemen. Don't sail across the Pacific in your 20-footer. You can watch the YouTube video and gain the experience without actually having to risk your life. Do it like I did. Like I say, watch it. If you really want to see an amazing story, one of the most amazing stories ever, the Contiki. You ever heard of it?
No.
Type it in. Kontiki, the Contiki. This dude,
play it on me, man.
Dude made a boat like they used to make out of straw and sailed his ass across the ocean. The Contiki, dude. Bloody Fingers just joined us. 13 Bloody Fingers. Or some. Maybe not me. Might not be Bloody Fingers. I can't tell. It's far away at this point. Dude, it's nothing but trouble. I'm telling you right now. Have you seen this shit? It's fucking out of control. No, I mean, seriously, these kids are out of control at this point. It's high school kids down in Vegas. These fucking 20 kids boot stomped this kid and killed his ass.
Yeah, they're going to do a hard time, though. I was watching a little bit of the pretrial.
Well, whether or not they do hard time or not is irrelevant, because little Bobby's never going to play football for the 49ers or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's some crazy ass shit.
No, it is.
I mean,
crazy.
That would never happen when I was going to high school in, 1981, 82.
You want to hear a fucking funny story? Yesterday.
All right.
Listen to this. Yesterday, I'm at work, okay? I'm drilling this fucking hole. All right? This was the toughest hole I've ever had to fucking drill in my life, man. Because for some reason...
Wood? Steel?
It was... Dude, it was wood. It was steel. It was chicken wire. It was fucking flexi wood. There were so many... And here's the thing. The thing was like, I had to get through this wall, all right? So the first day, I come from the other side, and I drill through with this giant hole saw, and I get through a bunch of this wood, I get through the header, I get through all this shit. Now I'm through the wall, and I'm far as my drill bit can go, and so now I got to use another drill bit. Problem is, on the other side, there's concrete, so if I drill too hard, I'm going to blast out the concrete on the other side and fuck everything up. Because that's where you're walking in. It's going to be a big piece of concrete missing out of the fucking wall. So I can't.
Yeah.
So anyways, bottom line, I come through back around and I start drilling the hole from the other side. Okay? So I'm drilling. I got this drill. It's got a drill bit on it. It's 24 inches long. And I'm on the ladder. Okay? And I got the drill like this. I'm holding it to the side, and it's like right next to my face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm getting the ultimate amount of pressure that I can push. And I'm leaning into this motherfucker, and the drill bit's spinning. It's a paddle bit. It's fucking spinning.
Yeah.
It's spinning, you know, fucking, and I'm going, and all of a sudden the drill catches like this, and the bottom of the handle with the fucking battery like this big on it, it's like a 2-pound battery, it goes like this. Fuck, fucking hit me right in the chin, dude. Dead in the chin. And I'm standing on this ladder, and there was when I got hit with it.
How high up?
I was about 4 feet off the ground. But here's the thing.
Okay.
When it happened, there was like this clicking in my head. It was like a click. I can't explain it. But it was like I realized in that moment I just took a blow to the chin, and I wasn't going down. And I was thinking to myself, this is what happens when you get knocked out in a fucking boxing match. They hear that click, and that's when they close their eyes and fall off to the side and just fall down. But it was like I heard the click, and I knew, and I wasn't falling down, and I thought to myself, I just took a fucking major blow to the chin, and I started, I'm like, nothing even happened, dude. I mean, I didn't even have a bruise today. But I swear to God, man, it was like a clean. And the thing was, it's that battery, isn't it? It wouldn't even be like a fist. That shit was fucking, you know what I mean? It was
harder.
It was harder, yeah, that's what I mean. I was fucking got knocked out, man. All in a day.
I got myself a little MacBook Pro studio set up here at Jimmy on. It's quite something.
You going to start doing porn?
No.
Oh, good.
No.
Well, that's good to hear.
No. No.
Well, people start having these GoFundMes. What are they called? Hold on. Fans only.
Although, I could probably rent the back rooms out to some cam girls once I get the Starlink.
Dude. You know? You're crazy, man.
A little Andrew Tate economy on the side here.
It's all too much. All right, listen. It's 7... It looks like it says 7:52. Do you want to continue?
Well, let's cap it off at the top of the hour, man. Yeah. That'll be 10 o'clock for me.
Sounds good. Yeah, I was lucky, Amber. I am lucky. That was lucky.
Yeah.
I'm always thinking, like, you know, shit happens, man. Shit's always happening.
Yeah.
It happens. Every fucking day some shit happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's literally, it's a miracle that, you know, I mean, construction sites, it's a miracle people don't fucking get killed on a daily basis. I mean, they do, but I just mean on every job site. You know, people, as a whole, there's people getting killed on job sites, but you don't hear about none of that shit. You know what I mean?
I was thinking, when you were telling the boat stories, I was just thinking to myself, I wonder how many people are casualties at sea on an annual basis, like how many recreational or goal-oriented sailors, and like non-commercial, like I'm going to take 6 months off work and prep for this sail to Hawaii or whatever. I wonder how many of them die.
Lots of them. There used to be this channel, and it was called Bikinis and Bears was the name of it. And it was a dude and his wife, and they had a 30-foot Columbia like I had, and they had it up in like Alaska, and they keep it there. And when the water freezes up, it pushes these boats up out of the water, so that the ice doesn't crush the hull on these, because they got like a 4-inch, 5-inch thick fiberglass hull. So it pushes the boat up. So the thing was, is this guy, what his thing was, is him and his wife would just, when the water unfroze and the boat hit the water again, that's when they'd go back to their boat. And then
travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
That things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.